TagCastPodcast.com.
Hey guys, today's episode is brought to you as always by our gracious sponsors at Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions. Complete Ag Resolutions offer you the best solutions in all your agricultural needs. They're a family-based business where the customer always comes first. Check them out at facebook.com/completeagresolutions. And Pizza Now, they're ready when you are. They're at 1705 Southeast Hill Street. And I personally would suggest that you get the porcupine pizza. It's a barbecue base with a pulled pork and pineapple and red onions if you like that stuff. Check them out. They have a Facebook at Pizza Now Albany. You can call them up at 928-0900. You can check out their Twitter at Pizza Now One. So check out Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions. And now listen to your episode. Hey, Catch.
Yeah.
We're on iTunes. We're on TuneIn. We're on Stitcher. We're on the internet. We're on Facebook, on TagCastPodcast.com.
You just blew my mind.
Did you say blow?
Mind. I'm losing my mind.
And now, once again, it's time for the TagCast Podcast with Terry and Gatch.
Yeah.
My name's Terry Gatch.
You know what you are? You
give me
Lake Monster.
For a sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot.
Hello, everybody. I can't speak.
My leg was right out in the middle of the street.
Did you know that I've seen your penis 6 times today? And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
Would you go to the president's office? Shit on his desk while he's watching right there on his desk.
We don't need idiots.
Ernest?
Good for nothings. Meth heads. Or
Bob and Tom.
I'm getting made for this, boys.
The TagCast Podcast starts right now. Everybody, welcome to the TagCast Podcast, episode 326. This is the 26th episode of the third season. Welcome to it. It's a Friday. My name is Terry Guile. Across the table is my co-host.
I am Gatcha Dalmatian.
He's fighting trucks right now.
I am.
You're Gatcha Dalmatian?
Yeah, 101, right? 101st episode.
Oh, yes, you are correct, sir. I thought you were feeling spotty.
No, I am feeling spotty.
At best.
At best.
So, yeah, we're going back to truck fighters. It's been a week or two since we talked about these. Well, we talked about them just the other day, about their Fuzzlementary, which I'm going to watch soon, I promise. But this
is out?
Well, it's on YouTube, or is that just a trailer?
I think that was just a trailer.
Oh, it's just a trailer. I guess we're going to wait for it. I'm going to watch the trailer, and then I'm going to wait for it. But great stoner rock, desert rock band from Sweden, Truck Fighters. We're hearing Atomic right now, I believe, from their latest LP. Good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Still surprised that we had never heard of these guys. Just goes to show you. You can be involved in all kinds of music and all kinds of stuff like that, and still things fly under your radar.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff out there.
So you got to search that shit out. Whoa.
Nice.
Search it out. Break it down. Hey, it's Friday, you guys.
It is Friday.
What are you going to do this weekend?
I'm going to sign some petitions.
What are you against? I'll do some picketing with you.
All right. I am...
How about if we just go out on the streets and I make signs for you and you make signs for me and then you have to do whatever I say?
Oh, man, I watched a good amount of those, a handful of those episodes last week, and that was some good stuff, man.
I think I did too,
right? Practical Jokers?
Yeah, Impractical.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, it's a little corny at times, but some of it gets pretty golden moments every once in a while.
Is he the dodgeball? Everybody switch!
Yeah. Yeah, that guy got the shit knocked out of him. Then he got hit right in the head, right in the eyeball.
He tried to, like, But you tried to get them to let up after that, but they wouldn't.
No. You don't mess around with the professional dodgeballers.
You don't. No, but I was checking out the White House petitions. You know, they recently started, if you could get 5,000 people to sign a petition online, it would...
become an actual petition?
No, it would get a response from the White House.
Wow.
And 5,000, that's low, especially considering the internet, right? So they raised it to 25, and I don't know if you heard that over 30,000 people signed a petition to have them start working on a Death Star.
Like Star Wars?
Yeah. And the White House responded, because they had to. They said the White House does not... They don't... when you agree with something. They don't condone blowing up planets.
Oh. Well,
and it's just not possible in the federal fund it wouldn't make sense to allocate that kind of funding to it, and especially something that could be destroyed by one plane or whatever it was.
Now, is this actually feasible? Could a Death Star actually be built?
It would cost too much. Well, I'm sure they worked out the numbers because they know how big it was.
I'm sure the government isn't worried about any dollars. Yeah. They just spend whatever they need to.
But they did respond, and now it's 100,000, and it has to be within a month. And so I was looking at some of them because you can go on and you could go on and sign them, you know, if you want to give the government your address and stuff.
Yeah.
But these are some of the ones I saw. And unfair cable pricing.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm for that.
Yeah, you could probably round up 100,000 people to...
Yeah, I was thinking, right? Yeah, so people, if you don't like your cable prices, get out there and sign that petition. How about some stamps commemorializing breastfeeding?
Doing what?
Breastfeeding.
Commemorizing?
Tits on stamps.
Oh. I'm all for it. Like a stamp on tits.
Yep. You know, there's always legalized marijuana ones. The shame is that there's probably about 5 on there when they should be all consolidated into one.
Right.
A minimum 3-week vacation mandatory for all the workers across the United States.
You mean even if you just started a job?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm not really into working, but...
there was one on there to get a reoccurring TV show for Joe Biden, vice president, which I thought might be kind of... Sure, why not? What else is he doing? He was on Parks and Rec.
Joe Biden?
Yeah.
I haven't watched that enough lately to know what's going on, but that's a pretty funny show.
Yeah. There was one to ban hammers and baseball bats.
Oh, that's perfect.
Apparently there was more murders of that than in guns.
All right.
And the one that I am probably most fond of, and I have boycotted before, and daylight savings time.
Yeah. It should all just be one thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, there's Saskatchewan doesn't recognize daylight savings. I don't think Arizona does.
They just don't change the clocks back?
Yeah. So when you're flying through, I mean, you go back an hour, then you go forward an hour, and then, I don't know, it's weird. I mean, how would you even drive through there, right?
Yeah,
I think that's the case. I know there's one state that doesn't.
That's weird. I don't...
So why should anybody? It throws you all off for like a week. So what, you gain an hour, but you're fucked up for a week.
And the next week, in 6 months, when they go back.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so you end up with no hours saved.
So you're cutting out 2 weeks of your 52 weeks. That's kind of like taking your weeks to a Coinstar.
It is.
Everybody wants
exactly
something.
Like that.
Taking your Subway. You get 11-inch sub, supposed to be a foot long, fucking 2x4. A 2x4 isn't 2x4 anymore. It hasn't been for years. Do you know that?
It isn't.
No.
Yeah. And I was surprised because, you know, when you're sitting there and you make you draw a plan.
You're using 2x4s.
You figure, you know, you want something 10 inches tall. You need...
How many 2x4s?
I need 5. No.
You need 6 and a quarter or something.
Yeah, I need 6 and then I'm going to have to cut one in half awkwardly and probably cut my thumb off.
I had a funny story where I was working at Country Coach and my friend Jim asked one of the peons to go back into the cabinet shop and get some 2x4s.
Uh-huh.
He took his tape measure back there and he was looking all over and he came back like 40 minutes later. He's like, I can't find any 2x4s back there. And he's like, there's a whole stack of them right inside the door and there's another one back there. He's like, I found a stack of some boards that were like 1¾ by 3¾, but I couldn't find any 2x4s. And he's like, an idiot, those are 2x4s. And he's like, wouldn't they be 2x4? He's like, 2x4 isn't a measurement, it's just a name that they call
it. Oh, it's another one of those
Subway. Yeah. And I don't remember why they make the 2x4s smaller than they really are.
To allow for
error
joints.
Are they talking like,
I don't know.
Are they talking like, bread never really cooks the same, so we can't really say that it's going to be 12 inches every time.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Well, maybe our good friend Google can tell us.
It probably has to do something with measurements. Maybe adjoining joints are easier.
You know what the top two entries are from when you type in why isn't?
What?
Why isn't the sky violet?
All right.
And why isn't LaMichael James playing?
Well, I'll tell you what, because I saw him fumble earlier. That's why he wasn't playing.
Yeah.
Because he fumbled on a kickoff.
Okay, there it comes right up. Why isn't a 2x4 2x4?
There it is.
We're about to tell you guys. Hope you guys probably already know, but
probably has to do with qubits.
Qubits?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a video game?
I don't know. Qbert.
Okay, there you go. Oh, man, it's going to take me too long.
Could have something to do with Qbert, though. Because he would jump diagonally up and down trying to escape those snakes coiled up.
Running the former rough cunt 2x4 rough cunt, I just said cunt 2x4 through a planer to create the smooth surface. The drying process created a finished piece of lumber which measured 1 5/8 by 3 5/8.
Ah.
In the late 70s, today's standard size 1.5 by 3.5 dry 2x4 was created. It's a 1.5 by 3.5 2x4.
Yeah, I thought it was 1.5. So they cut it at 2x4, and then they have to plane it. And
finish it, or smooth it out.
All right, well, that makes sense.
Not really.
Not really. Why don't you just cut it bigger and then do it down
to... Exactly.
We will call it a 1.5. 1.5, 3.5, please.
Fucking 2x4s.
I know. And, dude, if they would have called it a 1.5, 3.5... That fucking Metallica song would have been completely different. You think it would have been more rockin'?
What would it have been called?
1535. A 2x4 song, right?
They have a 2x4 song?
Yeah. 2x4! I don't even know how it goes, dude. But it's,
that's not really a song.
It was on the same album as Eat My Beats! 2x4!
I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
I don't. That's...
2x4.
That's how I work.
2x4. So in today's day, an age of legal medical marijuana, you know some people that are doctors, probably, you know. They grow their own medicine.
Oh, yeah. Their own pharmacists.
Okay. Do you have any people that have any odd ways of protecting? Like we talked about a long time ago, a few month or so ago, about a guy who was trying to keep his plants warm, and he built a big fire, and the cops came or something. Mm-hmm. Okay.
To protect them, though, you're saying?
Yeah, like, would
traps,
you get a or a guard dog?
I've never, no.
No?
I hear, you know, I'm in the typical hide them in bushes or whatever.
What about a guard gator?
No.
How about a gate gator?
No.
It's a gator to guard your gate. Authorities in California said they discovered a very sick 5-foot alligator protecting 34 pounds of marijuana at a man's home in Alameda County. And the deputies, they were conducting a probation compliance check at his residence. A 32-year-old man at 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon, and they discovered he was keeping 34 pounds of processed dried marijuana in his bedroom. And they said that we've come across guard dogs, like pit bulls, and that's quite frequently, but a guard alligator is very unusual.
But it was a sick alligator?
Yeah, because he's out of his territory, I believe.
So it's kind of animal neglect?
I would believe so.
That probably bothers me more than the guy having, obviously, more than the guy having weed.
So the guy who owned the alligator got it in 1996 to commemorate the death of rapper Tupac Shakur.
So what is the alligator's name is?
No, the alligator's name is Dr. Teeth.
That's Muppet Guy, right?
I guess. Yeah, the guy from the band.
Yeah.
Dr. Teeth. And he was taken to the Oakland Zoo, where a spokeswoman said that the animal is very sick and will probably treat him and keep him in a quarantine area and then figure out from there where he will be located. My take on the whole thing is that he might have ate a couple pounds of that weed. And he wasn't sick. He was just really stoned.
It could be. You know, or just, I mean, who knows what. You know, I mean, the guy can't be too bright if he's, like, growing. Was he growing?
Well, he must have been at some point, but he had 32 pounds of weed.
And he had an alligator protecting that.
Yeah.
The bricks?
Yeah, I don't know if they were bricks. It was just said 34 pounds of processed dried marijuana. Okay. They're probably in bags.
Yeah.
You know, the good
bags,
stuff,
they don't bring
them up anymore.
Yeah.
But he didn't get arrested for animal neglect, just possession of marijuana, and he was held on $160,000 bail.
Mm. Yeah, obviously he wasn't taking care of it.
No.
He had other things to worry about.
Yeah, and I don't see how an alligator can survive in a house when they're used to living in swamps.
And I don't understand how...
I mean, maybe in Florida...
Is an alligator going to care if somebody comes in to take your weed?
Especially if he's sick. I mean,
he's probably just like, eh.
He feeds me chicken.
Hey, can you turn the channel? I'm tired of watching Ellen.
I'm trying to watch Wally Gator.
You know who was Ellen before Ellen?
Oprah?
Paula Poundstone.
Because she was a lesbian comedian?
Mm-hmm.
Meh. Well. Meh. I want to eat a Pop-Tart. Paula Poundstone last Friday.
You can probably find that online. Or
hit
Pop
Eugene.
Tart
I wonder if she did her Pop Tart bit.
She was popping tarts.
I don't think she can get away with doing a gig without doing the Pop Tart. It's like Skinner not playing Freebird.
Oh man, not playing Freebird last
or at all. And had a lucky contestant last week at the. At the green room, and they won a pair of tickets to Paula Poundstone.
Mm-hmm.
But the lady didn't even know who Paula Poundstone was.
No, that's probably fair. She's been out of the game for a little while.
But the lady was super excited, and she's jumping up and down, and I was like, hey, Dana Montana was Dana Montana. I said to my wife, Dana, hey, Montana must really like, because that's the girl's name who won the tickets, she must really like Paula Poundstone. She's like, she's never heard of her. I'm like, oh, why was she so excited? And she goes, because she never wins anything. So whatever.
That's funny.
I don't think Paula Poundstone's that funny. Speaking of women comics, though, one funny lady that's getting a lot of work and setting Guinness records, Christine Levine. Did you know she's the first woman to ever perform comedy in 50 states in 50 days?
Nice.
In the Guinness Book of World Records. And I don't know if you watched last Friday's Portlandia. It's going to be on again tonight. You should do some catching up if you haven't seen it. She got a significant part in Portlandia in a bit where they were in the... Women for Women bookstore, and they were having a comedy night, and Christine Levine was telling some jokes and hosting the comedy show. It played herself, so that's kind of cool. She gets to play herself, where she has had two other roles in season one and two, where she just played different characters. But also, Portland comic, female lesbian Whitney Streed, she's. Got not a speaking part, but a significant extra part sitting in the front there during the comedy show. And it just seems to me that Christine and the actress and the actor, you know, Fred and what's her name? Fred and Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
She seems to like probably be pretty good friends with those guys. I mean, she's done three or four episodes with them and she's moving up. Good going, Christine.
To the east side.
That's right.
You're finally getting your slice of the pie.
That's right.
Your piece. Pie.
Have you watched any of the latest episodes of Portlandia?
I haven't.
You should check them out. Some of them, you know, I told you last week, I think, some of them are borderline to where you're not really laughing. You're just going, I know. I mean, really? I saw that dude, and he totally did the same thing to me.
Yeah, it's pretty dry.
It is. It's real dry.
You got to be in the mood for it. At least I do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
I just try to watch. I you know, I try to watch it every week because I'm looking for my friends. I'm looking
Speaking of women comedians, though. What's your take on Irma Bombeck?
She's old.
She is.
Is she still alive?
I don't think so. I don't know. She might be.
What was your thoughts before she died on Phyllis Diller?
Old.
Yeah, she was the first female comic to be nationally recognized and be booked on a TV show and have a contract.
Yeah. I just remember a lot of Irma Bombeck's were huge.
Oh, books. Yeah.
I don't know if she ever did stand-up or anything like that.
I don't know either.
You know, I don't know. She did a lot of family material.
Weird name.
There were always just books laying around my house, so I read them. I don't know. Maybe my mom was probably reading them.
Well, in this day and age, with a name like Irma Bombeck, you probably would be considered a terrorist or something. Get it? Bomb?
Yeah.
You can't say bomb.
Jeff Beck would be worried.
You can't say Bombeck on a plane. Bomb, 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 bomb.
Bop, 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 bop.
You know, and I was talking about that alligator and how he probably would have done better if he was in Florida, say, if some crazy Floridian had a pot operation and he wanted his alligator to guard it. Maybe the alligator wouldn't be so sick. But also in Florida, they've been having a huge problem with huge Burmese pythons.
Oh, really?
Everywhere, yeah. 17-foot Burmese python shocked a family when it slithered into their picnic area. And they caught the massive snake on camera before a park ranger killed it. So now, because of all these, whatever you call them, encounters with the public, they have started, the Florida and Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission is scheduled to host the 2013 Python Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can just openly go out. Yeah, the person who kills the most pythons will win $1,500, while $1,000 will go to the person who kills the longest python.
Wow.
And then I read after this story, like 800 people had already signed up to hunt snakes.
Oh, shit. If you see them everywhere in your backyard and shit, though, you're probably like, hey, that might be the $1,000 winner.
17-foot Burmese python.
Yeah. Well, that's... Yeah, open season. Well, I hope they use them for something, right? Are they going to be able to use them for something?
No,
will they be able to make stew?
Oh, they'd be able to make shoes.
Yeah.
Python boot.
Yeah.
Like Frank Zappa talks about.
Are they deadly or they just suffocate you?
They suffocate you.
Yeah. All right. You know why they call them the Burmese python, right?
Because they're from Burmese.
No, they're from the Bermuda Triangle. They actually appeared out of nowhere out of the Bermuda Triangle.
On a plane.
Mm-hmm.
Snakes on a plane, motherfucker.
Did you hear about that snake on a plane?
I think I did.
There was a snake on a plane.
But I saw the story and then I kind of read it and it wasn't too interesting, so I didn't...
Well, he was on the wing.
Oh. No, I see. I didn't
read it. It was like the camera that I saw was like he was hanging on the wing and he was just flapping around. He was hanging on for dear life. Apparently they figured that he probably... crawled out from the carry-on or something right onto the wing.
He didn't
survive.
I'm smelling a Weird Al Yankovic song.
He didn't survive.
Pink Floyd's Snakes on the Wing.
Yeah, he was just...
The Snakes on the Wing. His Return to the Animals album is all about snakes now.
Yeah, it is.
Snakes on the Wing. Mm. No, I didn't hear about that. I mean, I heard about the story, but I didn't know that he was on the wing. But I did hear that Samuel L. Jackson is going to be in the new Die Hard movie.
Oh, really? I just heard the other day that they were making a Die Hard movie, and I couldn't believe that they were making another Die Hard movie.
Yeah.
What is this going to be? They had the Die Harder.
It's called something stupid, too, like that doesn't really... That it's a play on Die Hard.
Uh-huh.
And so our good buddy...
Die Hardest.
Our good buddy Seth Milstein made his predictions on 6 through 10... of the ones that aren't out yet, what they're going to be called.
Die Hardy?
Yeah, they were funny, but I can't remember them. But it was like...
What about Die?
I thought maybe Bruce Willis could team up with... what's that guy?
Vin Diesel.
No, he's a rapper.
Tupac.
And he's Curtis Jackson.
50 Cent. Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't going to say that, but I thought maybe they could team up and it could be Get rich or die harder. Get rich or die try harder.
I think they should call one die bag. Or die ma dozen.
Die harder ma dozen.
Yep.
Die harder my hair.
Diametrically opposed.
Die harder by my hand.
What about dichotomy?
Strange die harder me. Starring Greg Gillespie and Jason Rowe as Bruce Willis. As. I saw a funny picture, speaking of Bruce Willis and people like that, a picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an old picture of him, and it said Arnold. And then above it said
Arnold.
Arn Young. There was a picture of him when he was young, and it said Arn Young.
Arnold. And then it said Arn Arnold.
And he's old now.
Well, he's older than old, isn't he?
He's old enough to have a 14-year-old love child that grew up in the same house as his wife. It looks exactly like him.
Are we talking about Arnold Gary Coleman?
No, we're talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Arnold.
Gary Coleman is not akin to Bruce Willis as a action star.
Mm.
But yeah, Arnold
Schwarzenegger. He could have been in Twins too, though.
Don't you think if you were Arnold, you would have had a love child with someone awesome, not mm-hmm. just your ugly, fat Mexican housekeeper?
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Then there's that. What about you, Hans? If you were going to have an affair, wouldn't you have an affair with some hot chick, not your homely old housekeeper? Hans. Hans.
I would.
Hans, are you listening? Hans. Stop that drafting.
All right. I got my question for Hans.
Okay.
For this episode.
We'll do it now. We'll do all this Hans stuff early.
When was the last time you watched a Super Bowl?
I'm going to go ahead and guess never. Hans has never really liked sports.
That's fine. That's a question.
Okay.
Hans,
please send us a message or answer via hotline. You can call us at 541-791-6824 and tell us what your favorite Super Bowl moment was.
What's in Hans's CD player?
And since we're talking about Hans, we're going to get this out of the way right now, because if I don't, I might forget. We're going to find out right now.
What's in Hans's CD player?
Hans!
What's in Hans's CD player?
Hans!
What's in Hans's CD player?
Hans!
We're going to find out right now.
Well, this kind of blew my mind, actually. I remember this band because they were on a compilation with Victims of Internal Decay called I-5 Killers. And the producer who produced our self-titled CD was their sound guy, a band from Portland called Hitting Birth.
Ooh.
Heard of those guys?
Uh-uh.
I don't know if they're still around, but this is a funny name for a record. It sounds like they're drunk. The record's called The Thirst of the Fast 3 Years.
The Thirst?
The Thirst of the Fast 3 Years.
All right. I'm getting what they're saying.
What are they saying?
The first of the last 3 years?
The thirst of the fast. Yeah, I guess they're saying the first of the last. The thirst of the fast 3 years. They're thirsty for the fastness that was the three first years of the band.
What song did you guys contribute to that?
It's called Obstructed.
Mm-hmm. And then you can't find that anywhere else, right?
No. No, that's the only place it was. It was kind of like a bonus track that we recorded during the sessions of our self-titled debut, and we knew that compilation was coming up, so we saved that track especially for it. Yeah, and I don't even know. Those CDs are long out of print. I have a copy. You might be able to find them here and there, but they're pretty rare. It's got the Cherry Pop and Daddies on it.
Wow.
When they were not so funky, they were more rock. Kind of almost metalish, swing at all.
That first album.
Well, they were more funky than swing, but they were more metal than they've ever will be or ever were, as far as I'm concerned. And a few other notable bands on there that I can't recall right now. But yeah, go check out the I-5 Killers compilation on Schizophonic Records from the early 90s. You guys will like it. I know it.
I just read the Iron Cheek tweeted to Jose Canseco saying, I come to your dog shit house. I come to beat the fuck out of you. Break your neck, make you eat your raisin balls.
And did he say shut the fuck up or get the fuck out? What's he say?
That's all he said.
Okay, I can't.
I don't know what Jose Canseco said back to him. I can't believe he tweets that to him.
I can't remember what his punchline is now, his phrase.
No, go fuck yourself.
Oh, okay, sorry. Go fuck yourself. G-F-Y-S. 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 Do you ever have you ever had problems in your own personal experience with bed bugs?
No.
Did your mom used to tuck you in at night and say, "Don't let the bed bugs bite"?
My mom
really used to say that to me.
I always like to say, "Don't let the bed giraffes neck."
Yeah,
because they would neck.
Bed giraffes neck all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom used to always say, "Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite. See you in the morning for cartoons." Mm-hmm. And so I always thought like bed bugs were like a myth.
Mm-hmm.
I never had any bed
like
bugs.
Monster in your closet.
Yeah, or the alligator under my porch. I used to have a weird reoccurring dream as a child that there was this weird vicious alligator under my porch.
Really?
I might have been protecting my dad's weed.
My reoccurring nightmare as a child was down the hallway there was this lamp and a demon would come out of it and I'd have to build a brick wall to like keep it out.
Did you have to, like, get out of the mortar and all that shit? And, like,
oh, I was building them fast. You know, there was no time for slapping mortar down, but it was on there.
So you're just, you were just stacking them on top of each other?
I was just like, yeah, halls. Dude, it was a short hallway. The light was halfway down there. It was only about 7 feet.
All in all. All in all, it was just another brick in the wall. That's a crazy reoccurring dream.
It was, dude. It was frightening.
You guys out there, listeners, have any strange reoccurring dreams? Mm-hmm. Call our hotline. I've already given you the number 7 times today, so just call it.
All right. What's the better song? These dreams.
Oh, God. Whatever the other one's going to be. It's going
to
be that.
I was going to go with Dreams by... I can't even think of that band now. Jefferson Airplane.
We built this city.
No, the airplane one, right? No,
we built this city.
What was it? Starship. It was Starship, right?
What,
you know what song I'm talking about?
We built this city.
If only you believe. Oh, I'm thinking of Miracles.
Oh,
not Dreams. If only you believe in miracles.
Yeah, that is Jefferson's airplane right when they were changing to Starship, or maybe they just did.
Also weird that they had 1, 2, 3 bands that all like...
Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Starship, and then just Starship.
Uh-huh.
We built this city!
Come on!
They played that song in the Rock of Ages thing a bunch of times, and it was weak.
Oh, really? They kept going back to it?
Oh, dude, they mixed songs together. Mm-hmm. And like,
that was
they were,
like a recurring one?
They were doing Shadows of the Night by Pat Benatar at the same time as like Sister Christian by fucking Night Ranger. It was kind of blasphemous at the same time as it was kind of cool. But it obviously took a lot of time to get everything together and whatnot.
Yeah.
But,
it would be a fun show to go and see.
Whatever. But anyway, back to the bed bugs thing. I was reading a story. There's a quiz for Gatch. If you had to guess, what city would be the highest amount of bed bugs? Where would you guess? For 2012, Orkin, the pest control company, said that they got the top 10. I'm going to give them to you, but I want you to guess to see.
I'm going to say that they probably...
no Oregon states at all. No
they
Oregon.
Probably fester more in warmer climates. Probably in lower poverty areas. I'm going to go probably in the panhandle around Texas, Louisiana, that kind of area.
That was a nice, what do you call it? Not educated guess or but it was
deductioning.
Yeah, completely wrong.
Oh, okay.
Number one is Chicago. The bed bugs.
Oh, wow.
The bed
bugs.
I think
that's mostly because of Peter Cetera, though.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very filthy. He never buys a new mattress ever since he doesn't sell records anymore. But here's what I noticed.
None of the mattresses places will buy his jingles. That's
no,
why.
No, they won't. And amazingly enough, most of the places were like in Cleveland.
Oh. Huh.
Which is Ohio. Well, not all Cleveland, but mostly in Ohio, I should say. Here's the top ones, though. It was Chicago, number one, followed by Detroit, Los Angeles, Denver, and Cincinnati, which is in Ohio. And then the rest of them were Columbus, also Ohio, Washington, and then Cleveland / Akron / Canton, which is also Ohio, Dallas, Fort Worth, and New York. So there's three out of the top ten that are all in Ohio.
I don't know if I've ever come across bed bugs.
I've never seen them, and I've never had bed bug bites, but I've seen news stories in Portland where people have bed bug bites, and I've seen news stories from Portland News where they say people have checked into motels and got bit by bed bugs.
I could imagine. Portland's a pretty, you know, there's pretty dirty places in that town.
Yeah, and after you've had the same bed, say, in a motel for years and years and years and don't get a new motel, then they lay eggs in, like, the box spring area.
Yeah, the fuzz.
And I think they're, like, so little that you can't really see them.
No, but if you, like, stared at your white sheets, I mean, you'd probably see some activity movement around and stuff.
Yeah.
Like little black dots.
Little black dots.
But, man, bed bugs. Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they're probably pretty common in a lot of areas. But if you call Cleveland, also had a problem one time. They had a football player in their locker room. He got...
The Bears.
Like hepatitis or something from being in the locker room or some kind of weird, like, we're not keeping this place clean disease, you know? And so I
didn't
know
that was a disease.
Well, you know, like staph infection or something like that.
And then if you guys don't know, Tagcast Podcast is staph free.
Yep. And there was a... Man,
if you're not listening to Tag Podcast, something fucked up with you. You're probably going to get a staph infection on the inside of your leg and then try to pop it yourself.
No, don't do that.
That's a quote from Dano. Yeah. I want to make that into a clip to where we can play it. If you're not listening to Tag Podcast, Tag Podcast. For those of you who don't know, it's called the Tag Cast. And it is a podcast. You can just call it Tag Cast. Or if you want to call it Tag Podcast, you can. It comes out of many people's mouths when they try to say it.
Sometimes I call it TCP.
Yeah, we're taking care of business. We're TCB with the TCP. BITCHs. So we've talked many times on this program about the failure of edible marijuana treats to have an effect on me.
Yep.
I read a story about a New Jersey man who is suing a country club and some of its members who alleges he was tricked into eating a marijuana-laced brownie and it caused him to get super sick because he's a diabetic with high blood pressure and he has a history of stroke. So I don't see why they think they tricked him, but I don't know.
He died of a stroke?
No, he didn't die. He's suing him.
Oh.
He's suing him, but he's saying that he could have died. They tricked him into eating the marijuana brownie by claiming it had been made by a certain person who had made all these other things after taking several culinary courses at the Bridgewater Country Club. The lawsuit names Kavanaugh, Chaplin, and the club president, James McDonald. He says that those members told Russo about the brownie's contents after he started feeling lightheaded, dizzy, and numb. Effects he described as similar to those he experienced when he was having a stroke. His delayed calling for medical help in an attempt to hide the poisoning from others at the club, so they're thinking that he might not win the case. But what do you think about that? You think that... I mean, the dude...
Somebody slipped a Mickey.
He's 68 years old. He's got diabetes. He has high blood pressure. He has a stroke history. Let's give this guy...
Should he be eating a brownie anyway if he's got diabetes?
Let's give this guy a weed brownie and see what happens.
That's probably not the best decision to make.
Yeah. We're busted.
We all make this mistakes, though, and I don't know if it's a suable offense if he didn't, like, actually get harmed at all.
Well, he felt numb, dizzy, and lightheaded.
Yeah. Who are these people that fed it to him?
His buddies from the country club.
I think, once you sue him, then you kind of drop the buddy status, right?
Well, I guess, you know, well, once he sues him, yeah, for sure. it might have started once he found out, oh, by the way, there was weed in that. We're not buddies anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, buddy. And you're like, no, I'm suing you. Okay, we're not buddies anymore.
Yeah. If you're going to do something like that, you better know how they're going to take it.
Exactly.
Right? Because some people, you could do that, and they would, you know, they probably don't smoke, but they'd be like, I'll just chill for the next few hours. This is going to be fun. You know?
Let's watch and see what he does.
Like if you went and slip Pat a pot brownie, you know, you'd probably just enjoy it rather than be all pissed.
Well, yeah, unless he was going to work or if he had a weed hangover or if he was going to try to golf at the country club. I fucking can't even hit the ball off the tee. This is bullshit right here.
Is he still packing honey?
Yeah, I think he's just packing fudge into the upper corporate people. No, he's in charge of like 50 people, so he's important. He drives a Subaru Outback.
What?
You can't talk to him like that. He's in charge of 49 people.
Wow.
I think he's just he's just a supervisor. I don't think he actually has to touch any of the honey. Unless he wants to dip in just for a little.
They have those flavored sticks. Those are pretty good.
Oh, he used to bring those to practice back in my former life. When he used to play music. But he has stopped doing that. And I think if we give him enough hard times, maybe he'll come back to the fold. I don't remember if we talked about it last week on the show, but there's been talks of getting some of the Portland area death metal bands from back in the 90s back together for a reunion show, including Spawn and Body Bag and Void. But Hans really isn't into it. Hans, I know you're listening. And we've actually, sorry to tell you, buddy, we talked to Nick Woos, former victim that took your place when you quit the second time. And he said he's totally down for it, but we're not going to let him do it unless you step up and say, hey, we'll pull the string out of your neck. And you'll be like, I would have done it if you guys told me you were pull the string, going to get somebody else like Nick Woos. But, you know, we kind of want to make it happen. It's not Travis from Body Bag said it doesn't rely on Rod Black. They're not on good terms right now. And he said that we don't need him. We don't need Blackwood's Productions to
you
put on
his
show.
Photo work that he's done?
Rod?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's some pretty cool work.
Yeah, he does good photos, definitely. Yeah. But, you know, so they just want to put it on.
I get wary because we were at odds at one time, Rod and I.
Yeah, I think
so
everyone.
I'm a little bit frightened he might try to beat me up if he knew who I was.
Ah, no.
I don't think so for real. But
no, I think everyone who's like ever. But everyone who's dealt with Rod Black has been at odds with Rod Black at some point or another.
Yeah, you know, he takes the shit seriously, you know.
He got all pissy with me one time when I was telling him that, are we on for this show or not? And then I said, I'm just kind of joking. Seems you'd be more professional than that. And he's just like, oh, don't question my professional.
Yeah.
I'm this and that, and I've done all this. I was like, dude, fucking calm down. Are we playing second or first? That's all I wanted. I wasn't trying to fucking piss you off. But then the first thing I told Han, it was the first thing Han said when I said, yeah, Rod Black, and once we put it together, he goes, yeah, it'd be kind of fun, but Rod Black's a douche. And I told Travis that, and he said, yeah, he is. He goes, he puts on good shows, and he does some good stuff, but anybody who's dealt with him knows that. And if you're listening to the show, Rod, I don't know if you are or not, but it's just a general consensus. I don't personally think you're a douche, but I did get kicked out of your club for smoking weed out front, which was not very cool when I didn't even get to watch the rest of the bands. Mm-hmm. But that's another story for another day, I guess. But yeah,
he does some good promoting, though.
What I was starting to get to was we're trying to get a Void reunion, and Pat won't do it. But we thought that if we bring in another drummer, that might just ruffle a feather or two of his and say, "Hey,
you know what? You know what's weird about that though is I was approached by Lance and Pat about Pat playing drums in another project.
I heard that as well. But I don't think that, I mean, I know that it sounds good on paper.
Oh, yeah.
And even on a podcast, it sounds good. But when the reality comes down to it, Pat's probably going to be too busy with his work because he has to work weekends sometimes.
And that's fine.
That is fine.
You know.
His wife, I just found out, has been working 50 hours a week.
Holy crap.
Down at the Oak Street Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what's she doing? Dana said, medical stuff. It just means I don't know. I don't know if she's a receptionist or she's a nurse or what she does, but she's been working.
She's testing marijuana.
Ah, that kind of medical center. I gotcha. It's a medicinal center, we should call it, rather than medical.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're busy doing their stuff, living their life, and that's just the way things go sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think the opera was serious. I knew even if as much as he'd want to, the time wouldn't really be there.
Yeah, maybe someday. That was a roach. We're smoking bugs. What are you talking about, smoking bugs?
Mad bugs.
So we got one quick birthday to get to. Haven't seen the dude for a while. I think the last time I saw him was at a Norska show at the Dixie. Former, maybe possibly still, tattoo artist. He tattooed victims on Lance's belly. Mr. Chris Montez, happy birthday, Chris.
Happy birthday, Chris.
Don't know if you listen, but you're going to listen to this episode because I'm leaving you a link on your Facebook.
Right on.
Hey, I got a new app for my phone.
Yeah.
It's called Page Manager.
Uh-huh.
And it lets you manage your other pages, like
uh-huh. your pages.
TagCast, Tergile Page, and all those from your mobile device, which you can't do.
Do you like to put fish sticks in your mouth page?
Yeah, yeah. And raise the roof page, all those pages. Now, on my Kindle, it won't go to my Kindle for some reason, but it goes to my phone. And now I can respond to messages from my pages. I can view my insights from my pages.
Nice.
Which I could never do on any mobile devices before.
I think I might have that page or that app or an app that is that just manages fan page. I don't know if it's that in-depth or if it just kind of shows.
And here's what's trippy. I'm on my Kindle, right? And I go to my Terry Guile page. Uh-huh. And at the front, at the very top, there's a little extra thing that says, your page has reached 488 people this week. Nice. Which seems like a lot to me. And then it said, to manage your insights, get this app and click on the thing. So I clicked on it. It took me to Amazon to get this free app. Or it was the Google Play Store, actually. And then I clicked on it, and I wanted to put it in my Kindle.
Uh-huh.
But the only two options it gave me were my two cell phones that I had most recently.
Have you bought those on Amazon?
My cell phones?
Yeah.
No, I got them at the Cricket Store. Uh-huh. But it's linked in with my Google.
Uh-huh.
So it knows that I have that phone. So it says, do you want to send it to your Cricket phone or to your Verizon phone? I was like, well, I want to send it to my Kindle. So I do the drop-down menu, and it's not an option.
Huh.
So from my Kindle, I said, yeah, put it on my phone, and then it went to my phone. Mm-hmm. And then I've got the app in my phone, and then I went back to the thing to try to get the app for my Kindle, and it's just not available, I guess, for my Kindle.
Hmm.
So I still can't manage my pages from my Kindle, but I can from my phone, which is cool because I usually use my mobile devices more than my laptop just because.
Yeah.
Just easier for me, but...
How's that new case treating you?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I've dropped it a few times.
It doesn't get in the way or anything?
No, it's a little bulky.
Well, were you dropping it frequently before you had the case?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I did drop it a few times. It's hard to hold.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Is that a pin in there?
It's a needle.
Yeah. There was a needle floating around on the table.
Well, my magnet got it. I was like,
which is good because it was over by my computer, and then I was cleaning up those ants, and I swept it with a paper towel, and the needle flew off somewhere, and I couldn't find it. And I was just like, I know it's going to end up in my fucking under my toenail.
Or pull it out of your pants like I did with that pair of tweezers a couple weeks ago. I just found a pair of tweezers in my pants. That's fucking weird.
Or drink it.
You're worried about drinking ants? You should be worried about drinking needles.
Yeah, needles and ants.
I can't believe
ants
I found it.
Needles.
It's like finding a needle in a Kindle.
You know, Josh Charest said that he calls ants cousins because they came out of ant holes.
Ant holes?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotcha.
It took me a few minutes to wait a minute. That looks like it should be really funny, but I'm not quite getting it together yet. Let me look at it. Oh!
What other responses did you get from that barrage of questions that I forgot that you asked last week?
Well, I asked, are pencils obsolete?
Now, I respond to that because I still do use a pencil when I'm doing some of my writing because I have to change stuff.
Why don't you use an eraser mate?
Is that a erasable pen?
Yeah.
You don't think you can find them anymore, can you?
Yeah, they're just crappy. And they've always been crappy. Oh. They were a novelty.
Yeah, well, they kind of worked, though. I used them in school, and like Mike said, they were the shit back in the day.
They were, but not for left-handers because the ink always smeared.
Yep.
Because it didn't dry as fast as a normal pen.
That is true.
Have you ever been forced to use left-handed scissors?
Never forced, but I have.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about where you get that pain right there?
Mm-hmm.
Because the contour's not there?
Right. It hurts your thumb.
Yeah, people with their scissors. All right, and did you know that some snake oils tested in the early 1900s when they started prohibiting were tested with turpentine in them?
What do you use snake oil for?
It was a cure-all. You drank it, you spread it on your wounds.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's typical like you see in the older movies, you know, where some guy comes on the stagecoach and sells you snake oil, then he takes off before you even, you know.
Hmm.
A lot of people bought into it, and you know, they, I don't know if they banned it or they did something in the early 1900s after they tested it, and then it was synonymous with charlatans, the snake oil salesman.
Wow. Synonymous.
Yeah.
And, some big words, buddy.
How many mice has your cats caught? You live in a, you know, there's an open field around you.
My mice get caught by cats. Actually, yeah, our littlest cat, Lucy, she is the most tenacious as far as mouse hunting, and she'll hear one kind of crackling around in the wall, and she'll, like, sit there for, like, 4 hours just on the stairway looking at a crack in the wall, and we're like, oh, there's a mouse in there, so we'll know at some point that evening or sometime soon she'll have a mouse, and sure enough, yeah. Hmm. I think over the last 2 years we've lived in that house with our cats, I think they've probably killed like 5 or 6. We don't get a lot of them in there just because, I don't know why, maybe the cats being there keep them out. When my parents lived there, they use a lot of decon and a lot of rat traps, mouse traps and stuff, and they'd catch them, and they'd have droppings in their drawers. I mean, like, not those drawers. Like their other drawers, like the silverware drawers, which isn't cool to have mouse droppings in your silverware drawers.
Yeah, it's not. What about Bullseye or KC Masterpiece?
I'm probably going to go with Sweet Baby Ray's.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Pizza Now's barbecue sauce.
Yeah. Then you got Stubbs. That's what Jesse said. Jesse Priest said Stubbs barbecue sauce. My friend from Portland who puts on the Down and Dirty Showcase there, Pat Perkins, he said, could you guys get me a job? Apparently,
you mean,
he's out of work.
Oh. let's see. Sure.
Okay, well, it's a job.
You'd
be a correspondent for our TagCast podcast.
You have to...
how about
you
this?
You have to create a route in a car to where you drop off donation boxes for the charity. That, you know, at stores that say collect change or whatever. And then each month go back and pick them up and you get 10%.
All right. And now that I read it, it says, has anyone got a job for me? So it's not just from us. So,
okay.
Hey, if any of the listeners out there in the Portland area have a job for Pat Perkins, he said he'll send you his resume. I think he previously worked at a pizza joint. And he does it. Maybe he get a job at Pizza Now.
I know, yeah.
It's quite a commute, though, because he's from Portland. Oh. So I know he runs a radio show, talk show from the Cannabis Cafe. And here's a job for you, Pat. I want you to go around to local businesses in Portland that promote comedy, like the Ash Street Saloon and the Curious Comedy Theater, and we'll send you some business cards. You bring your TagCast business cards, and for each business card that you place at a business, after you get 10 business cards passed out, we'll send you a piece of pizza.
Ooh.
In the mail. And it's your choice if you want it in a Ziploc bag or a paper bag. We could just send the box. We could tape it up and use that as a packaging, just a Pizza Now box. I know you like pizza. Pat Perkins Pizza. other than that, or you could be a correspondent for us. You could call in and tell us what's going on in the comedy scene in Portland. Just
interview
call
people on the street.
Call our hotline. It's 791-8624. Wait, 68. Sorry, 6-tag. 791-6-tag. Call that number, Patrick, and give us an update on something like the Cannabis Cafe, and we'll send you a piece of pizza.
I have another job for him.
Okay.
He lives in Portland, right?
Yep.
He goes and buys daily 20 dozen. 20 dozen Krispy Kreme donuts, regular.
Whoa.
And then he goes to some city that does not have Krispy Kreme donuts and sits in the morning in a parking lot at the Dairy Mart and puts a sign that says, I'll just sell them for double the price, right?
And that's a job.
And people will buy them out of the back of your car.
Yeah. Now, how you're going to come up with the initial investment is up to you.
What you can do, you can sell flowers on the side, too.
At bars.
Uh-huh.
At night.
Yep.
You go into bars. You dress as an Asian person.
Mm-hmm.
Asian older lady works well for selling flowers in bars. And then you go up to the ladies and ask the ladies if they would like to buy a flower for the men. It's called flipping
it. Great idea.
I'm going to flip it on you.
That's a flipping great idea.
It. Flipping it. Flipping it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Or what you can do is just get rid of your place and go to that bar, and instead of selling flowers, sell yourself, and then you'll have a different place to sleep every night.
Get rid of your place? Like his house?
Yeah. And then you're just looking for some place to stay every night. And then you're filming a documentary about it, and so you're on Kickstarter, raising funds while you're doing it.
Okay, and Pat, after you leave your wife and kid and leave your house.
Oh, well, you left out that part of it.
Okay, you leave your house, and then say you just, to save yourself from having to find somewhere to sleep at night, you just stay up all night.
Uh-huh.
You work a graveyard shift of sorts. You're not working, but you're up, street teaming for the tag cast or whatever you need to do. And then in the daytime, you could probably go to the library and sleep.
Yeah.
Because I've heard that snoozing is somewhat allowed in the libraries.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen people in there sleeping?
Yeah.
Bums?
Mm-hmm.
College students who've just overworked their brains and fell asleep studying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Iowa City, Iowa is going to be the first city to ban sleeping in the library. Not only got to talk quiet and you can't sneeze. You can't snooze. No snoozing in the library.
Huh.
So, you know what my thoughts are, I know the Eugene Library would probably want to do this, it's to get rid of the homeless people.
Yeah.
But they're doing it in a way to where it's all the way across the board, it doesn't matter if you're a college student with a lot of money and you fell asleep because you were studying too many hours, they're just going to say nobody can sleep there, and that way they're not going to go up to someone who's slumped down in the chair with his coat over his head and say, you have to get out because you're homeless. We're just going to say, you can't sleep here. So
yeah.
You better take advantage of it.
Why don't they just give the roof of the library to the homeless people?
The roof?
Mm-hmm. They could just hang out on the roof.
Hmm. Well, it's cold up there, though. I think they're looking for
let them put up some tents.
Warm place to sleep. Tent City on the roof of the library.
Yeah.
And then you could do some Google tagging while you're up there.
Yeah.
Google tagging is all the rage.
Yep, and you could photobomb.
You could photobomb a Google tag. And if you don't know what we're talking about, then just move on. It'll be okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Have you ever got caught shoplifting?
No.
Have you ever shoplifted? A statute of limitations covers you. You're fine.
Once.
Okay.
I did.
Good job.
I took some stickers out of, this is the one. I took some stickers out of a model and took them home.
Whoa.
And
the decals?
Yep. And then one time I was hanging out with some friends. I was riding my bike around with them and stuff. And we went to the store and we came out. And apparently they had stolen some gummy bears out of like those bins.
Ah.
And the cops are all on them, and they were kind of troublemakers with the cops and stuff, and I really wasn't, and so I didn't know anything was going on. I beat Cheeks Adler on my bike. They didn't really follow me or nothing, but I bailed on those guys because I was like, fuck that. I didn't take anything.
I didn't take no gummy bears.
I know.
I didn't take no deckles.
They didn't even tell me. They weren't planning on sharing.
Really?
I don't know.
That's bullshit.
They didn't tell me anything. Well, it's probably good because otherwise I probably would have been guilty with it.
So you think if someone gets busted for shoplifting and then they have, like, before the authorities are called in, you know, you're accosted by the store security and they're like, look, you're stealing something. Do you think if a dude has a decent excuse that they should maybe go lighter on him or call the cops anyway or no excuse for stealing from a public? We're talking Walmart. I'm talking about Walmart right now.
Walmart, I don't know. I mean,
those guys are pretty penny pinchers.
They are. And, you know, I mean, it does cost the product to go up, but they do allow for a little bit of theft, I'm sure, in their profit margins. So, I don't know. If you want to take it case by case, you can, if that's your store manager's policy, I guess.
No, I think people from Florida are crazy. Those crazy Floridians again. This guy thought maybe he could get off. He stole beer, wine, and steaks, totaling $79.30 from the Manatee, Florida Walmart store. I didn't even know there was a Manatee, Florida. But here was his excuse. He apologized and said, I was trying to impress a lady.
No, that doesn't fly. I don't think any time that you're stealing beer would allow, like,
beer and wine and steaks. That's a good date.
It is. And maybe steaks I could see because if you were hungry and starving.
This dude's 48 years old.
To steal them.
Now, if you were a 21-year-old and you're trying to go on a date and you didn't have the money and you could be pleading ignorance, I was just trying to impress a lady. I don't know any better. I'm a dumb kid. This dude's 48 years old.
The judge might take it easy on you, but no, you don't need to be. Nobody needs to be stealing beer.
He went straight to jail and did not pass go.
Well, that's probably best.
On a misdemeanor shoplifting charge, all to please a lady.
Yeah, that ain't cool.
No, I don't think so either. Hey, speaking of a little bit ago, we were talking about Facebook Insights. We're up to 161 likes on our Tagcast podcast page.
Sweet.
Still trailing Terry Guile by 30.
Damn.
We got some work to do, that fucker. 504 total reach for this week.
Nice.
Which has me beat at 488. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're, I can't even think of the word. How awesome you are is totally delegated by how your Facebook looks.
Oh, yeah, by your likes and everything?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you have a certain amount of likes, you're that much better. Mm-hmm. You're that much cooler.
Yep.
I've noticed.
I agree.
There's some pages that have, like...
That's why I buy likes.
You buy likes?
Mm-hmm. Well, I did that one time.
Bisexual likes?
Mm-hmm.
I like likes, but I like buy likes. All right, well, it's Friday. Make sure to stick around after the show for the plugs. It's going to tell you where to go to have fun on the weekend. You should go right now and get some pizza and then go over to Complete Ag Resolutions and get your tractor fixed. Maybe you could drive your fixed-up tractor to Pizza Now. Those are our two awesome sponsors. They keep us rolling across the internets for you all to listen to us. So thanks to those guys. And if you want to know what's going on in the world of Terry Guile, go to terryguile.com. That's TerryGeil.com. You can book me for a show, or you can find out where I'm going to be performing. Also, check out VFMF.org. That's a nice thing going on with Gatch. He's raising money for kids. He's going to give them instruments and stuff. So go there. Donate. If you're a kid, fill out an application. And maybe you'll get a free instrument.
Heck yeah.
It's going to be awesome. And also check out flyjelly.com. Go to iTunes and rate us if that's where you're listening. You can hear us on Stitcher and TuneIn also. Stitcher's been giving me problems lately, though.
Has it? You're not uploading the latest episodes?
It uploads the latest episodes, but like for the first 2 or 3 minutes I'm listening to it, it's like glitching and skipping ahead, and then it keeps saying, the Stitcher application is not responding. Would you like to force close or wait? And so I've been listening on TuneIn the last couple of weeks to Mark Maron and some other people because Stitcher was giving me a problem. But don't give up on Stitcher if you do listen on Stitcher.
Yeah, they were stitching it. They must have been stitching it at that time.
Yeah, I think they busted open, so they had to stitch it up. But also go to tagcastpodcast.com. You can click on the Amazon link and go do some shopping. Valentine's Day is coming up. Get some stuff for your special person in your life, and then we'll get a couple pennies for you spinning stuff on your loved ones. Also, check us out on Facebook and Twitter, Tumblr, all that crap. You can find all the links to that at tagcastpodcast.com. Go there. Listen to our episodes. Do something. I mean, Jesus Christ. You can't just sit here and listen to us all the time. Well, you could. You could.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a guest coming on the show next week. We got Zach, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We got Zach Rowe from 30 Pound Test, mm-hmm. and he is also a board member from the VFMF. So we'll be talking about that. We're talking about 30 Pound Test, who went in the studio last weekend to record their first official demo. I remember Zach said he was pretty stoked that he didn't have to be running the controls, you know. Usually he's doubling as drummer and producer and engineer. So this time they went up to Portland to a studio, and they're recording their demo, and I can't wait to hear it. So, and like I said, stick around for plugs. I'm going to tell you about their show coming up with Soulfly, which is going to be in February on the 19th. So stay tuned for all of that. Thanks for listening, you guys.
Rock on.
That's right. We're going to keep rocking on, and we'll be back on Monday with more shenaniganery, or whatever you want to call it. Remember, if it's freezing outside, then the car wash is frozen.
Hey, that's right. If it's freezing outside, the water is frozen.
And don't be an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
But go by the car wash, and if it's frozen, just vacuum out the dirt.
That little kiddie pool that I had out in the back, it was frozen over.
Did you go skating?
No, but I took it with one of those garden claw tools.
Uh-huh.
And it was about 3/4 inch thick, and that was in the middle of the day.
You could have took an ice pick to it and used it for drinks.
I could have. So far, the dirty leaves in it.
Oh, that just adds flavor.
I know. I actually pulled them out and it shattered along the yard, and there were steel chunks 2 days later.
That tells you it's cold out. So build a fire, stand by the heater, and go fuck yourself.
The TagCast podcast can be heard on iTunes,
Stitcher,
TuneIn Radio,
and our website,
TagCastPodcast.com.
You can also hear us rebroadcast on internet radio station Rock Out Radio on Friday evenings. Find us on Facebook and review us on iTunes.
Help support our show. Donate directly on our website.
Or click on our Amazon affiliate link before you shop there.
TagCastPodcast.com.
Hey, all you taggers.
You guys looking for something fun to do this weekend?
Of course you are. You don't want to just be a stick in the mud. This Friday, January 25th at John Henry's, it's Ninth Moon Black, Cold Blue Mountain, and Anti-Kythera. 9 p.m. showtime, 21 and over, $5 at the door. Should be a great doomy type of metal show of some sort. Friday, February 1st at Hawthorne Theater, it's DRI with Rendered Useless and Guillotine. Also rumors of Wehrmacht opening the show. Check out online at hawthorntheater.com for information on that show. Also the 1st, if that's not what you're into, go to the Ash Street Saloon. Witch Mountain will be playing there, and they're having their LP release show. Cauldron of the Wild is coming out on vinyl. Purple marbled vinyl, to be exact. They'll be playing a show with Diesto, another great band from Portland, along with two bands from New Orleans, Solid Giant and Red Shield. It's 8:30 showtime at the Ash Street Saloon, 21 and over, $8 at the door. Saturday, February 2nd at Bronx in Portland, it's Yob and Rolling Through the Universe, which is a band who's having a CD release show. Yob will be headlining. I believe Usnia will open the show. Go online and check out for tickets on that. If you're in Portland and not into the Doom thing and you're into comedy, maybe you should head over to the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall on February 2nd. Lewis Black will be ranting his head off there at the Schnitz. He's very mad. He'll probably shake his finger at you and whatnot. Not sure if that's sold out or not, but check it out online for tickets. February 11th at John Henry's, we got Nashville Pussy. That's a Monday night. You don't see them often in Eugene, so go check that out if you have the chance to. Wednesday, February 13th at the Roseland Theater, Marilyn Manson and the Butcher Babies. He used to play the Rose Garden. Now he's back down to the Roseland Theater, so maybe it'd be a little chance for you to get a little more close and intimate with Marilyn, if that's your thing. Sunday, February 17th at the Wonder Ballroom in Portland, it's Portland Greats Red Fang doing a hometown show. Check out online for details for that. I told you about this show a few times. Tuesday, February 19th at the Hawthorne Theater, we got Soulfly, Insight, Lodi Kong, and our buddies in 30 Pound Test will be opening the show for the Maximum Cavalera Tour coming through Portland. Like I said, Hawthorne Theater, February 19th. On February 22nd in Portland at the Baghdad Theater, it's a Friday night comedy night at the Baghdad with Tristan Spillman and friends. I will be one of his friends that night, and we'll get the lineup squared away within the next couple weeks and let you know what's going on with that. It's going to be $5 at the door, 21 and over. It usually starts at 10 o'clock, but sometimes the shows are a little earlier. We will square away all the details with that
very soon.
Saturday, March 16th at the Dixie Creek Saloon, part of Crimson Guardian's 15-day tour that they're doing over a few weekends. Crimson Guardian will be playing there at the Dixie with Wicked Haven and Bikini. The show starts at 9 o'clock. It's 21 and over, and it's a free show, and there may be a fourth band added.
At this point, we're not too sure.
Here's a big show coming to the Crystal Ballroom on March 29th. My good buddy Dave Forsythe might be coming up. We go to that show, I hope. Anthrax, Exodus, Municipal Waste, Holy Grail, and High on Fire. That's a great lineup. I haven't seen Anthrax and Exodus in years. I saw Municipal Waste a couple years ago, and they were great. I would love to see High on Fire again, so... maybe I'll see you there if you go check out Anthrax and Exodus at the Crystal Ballroom March 29th. And that's all the shows we got for you right now. There'll be more to come in the weeks, and get out and do something. And then when you get home, you can listen to another episode of the TagCast Podcast.
TagCastPodcast.com.